You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We are not as strong as we think we are. When the pandemic hit, I turned to TV shows. Friends was my new Friends. Community was my new Community. And it was nice to have TV shows to watch. People to hang out with, you know, when you can't hang out with your other friends. And I sort of, saw myself as a part of them. A part of the Friends group. You know, Ross and Rachel were my friends. Troy and Abed in the morning. I loved it. And this is something I had done most of my entire life. I love movies. I love TV shows. I would watch them all the time. Some from when I was younger, Suite Life on Deck, Blue Bloods, Blacklist, White Collar, that's one of my favorites. Lots of TV shows. I remember watching White Collar one time in a week. It's six seasons. Yeah. but during the pandemic, turning to TV shows for my friends, it wasn't friends. It wasn't a community. It was lonely. And the TV shows turned to darker things. I started turning to porn and masturbation as a way to numb away the feelings. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Even in the midst of my sin, God loved me. And God loves you. Summer of 2020. I'm in Iceland with my dad. We volunteer at a summer camp there. And it's 2 weeks before I come to Asbury as a student. I transferred in with the courageous class. 2 weeks before I come, my dad sits me down and says, "Hey, Nick, I challenge you to not watch a single TV show your first semester of college." I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "Also, maybe, this, you don't have to do this one, Nick, but maybe only listen to Christian music. Like, don't listen to any secular songs. Maybe, you don't have to do that one, Nick, but go for it." And I was like, "All right, yeah, bet. I'm going to do it." Okay, my dad challenged me. I'm going to do that. Okay? I come to Asbury, and I do it. I don't watch any TV shows my first semester. I don't listen to any secular music my first semester. Y'all, that changed my life. I'd already stopped watching porn. But I didn't realize how much that stuff had influenced me. How much it had left me feeling empty. The renewal of mind is the first thing that comes to mind. Just being able to see things, like having real friendships with people instead of having TV shows that you turn to when you feel lonely, right? Your mind and your heart, man, just connecting with real people, real things. But this last year, not watching porn has been very, very lonely in a different way. When you're not numbing things away, when you're not turning to things to distract you from your pain, You have to turn to something that will. That will be with you or someone. Romans 8 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, or depth, or anything else in creation can separate us from the love of God. There are no more distractions, no more numbing. Allow those feelings to turn you to the one who will never leave you. I have felt lonely this year, but I have known that I was never alone. I was never alone. And you're never alone. God's love is always poured out for us. He always loves you. He always loves you. Nothing changes that. So will you allow those feelings of loneliness lead you into a relationship of someone who will never leave you alone? Will you allow those lonely feelings to drive you back into the Father's open arms? He has been faithful to me, whether I have been to him or not. He has been trustworthy all this time. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. He has, and he is. I have tasted and seen that God is good. Come to the table with me and taste and see that he is good too. Danny mentioned to me earlier, like, I love having people over at our house. I love making biscuits for people at the apartment, not our house. I love making biscuits for people and food for people. I love people to taste and see and to experience things. Y'all, Jesus invites us to taste and see. He invites us to experience. He invites us to enjoy, to delight with him, with him. Come to the Father who invites you in, to an omnipresent God who never leaves you or forsakes you, who loved you from the beginning, loves you now, and will love you to the end of time. You're never alone. This past week has been insane for me. I don't know why I felt so alone this week, but I knew I wasn't. I knew I wasn't. God showed up in so many ways. One of the most beautiful moments this semester of experiencing what it's like to not be alone is when I went camping over Labor Day weekend with some of my friends. And we had a great time. It was beautiful in like Berea, Kentucky. We camped out. Two of us got chiggers. Yeah, they like embed in your skin. They're itchy. They'll last for weeks. You can get like scarring from them because of like their bites just last forever. I still have marks on my feet from them. So I was one of them, and Danny was the other one. And I will tell you, there is nothing more comforting than waking up at 3 a.m. because your bites itch, and seeing Danny Baraka in the living room putting nail polish and itching away at his, and you have this thing that you're connecting over. I wasn't alone. That's been consistent throughout the semester. I'm not alone. God has been showing that. So this week, when I felt very alone, I knew I wasn't. So I made a list of things. I'm just going to read them off the way I wrote them to myself in my notes, and then I'll be finished. I called it God being God, because that's who he is. He never leaves you, never forsakes you, and always, always loves you. Chris being there, freehand cutting straight, Danny, Michael encouraging, Becca last moment, painting crew, Aiden hug, Rebecca Bogle, Andrew Cox, Dave Gross appointment, ahead on lights, Andrew Messinger, Danny not alone, Paul's white shirt, Becca prayer, songs, podcasts, drive, Airbnb, stories and MC at brother's wedding, David, snacks and car, mom iron, Goodwill shoes, belt, I didn't have one but I didn't know till after the wedding. Blessing song, another song, Levi, mom, library, church, forgiving what you can't forget, timing, over and over and over again. God is faithful. You are never alone. Thank you.
Hey Asbury, my name is Zoe Gabbard and I am part of the Courageous class. Today I get the honor and privilege to introduce one of my favorite people, Sam French. Sam is a Christian ministries major in the Faithful class and is originally from Sarasota, Florida. She serves as a spiritual life assistant on Third Front in Glide Crawford. I met Sam this past August since we were both SLAs. Sam embodies Christ through her honesty and caring heart in discussion, whether it be with me or residents on her hall. When you see Sam on campus, you are always greeted with a smile and a hug, most likely while she balances a mug in her hand. Sam isn't afraid to discuss the truth of God lays on her heart, which is why I'm excited to join you all in listening to her today. I hope Sam blesses you guys as much as she does with her warm, kind, loving heart and her convictions to follow God's call. Please join me in welcoming Sam French. Good morning, Asbury. How are we all doing today? Are we awake? All right, I'm gonna wake you up with some shout outs for a second, all right? So I came to Asbury with the surrendered class. I'm graduating with the faithful class. I have some wonderful taggies in the cubby class. Do you guys like being called the cubbies? No? Well then, I'm sorry, the courageous class. And I have some sweet and lovely friends in the ignited class. You're awake. All right. Now, I take all this time not just to check something off my Asbury bucket list, although I think I can check that off now. I take all this time because I want each and every one of you to know that you matter. I want each and every one of you to know that you have a story that's worthy of being told, and that I care about it, and that the people at Asbury care about it. I'm going to share my story with you guys today, but there's really nothing that separates me from you other than the fact that I asked to share mine. So I'm going to share my story, but I'm also going to encourage you to share yours with somebody else. So I grew up in Florida. I grew up in church. My grandpa's a pastor. My mom's side of the family is all very involved in the Mennonite church. If you ever want to know about that, let's get coffee sometime. It's a long conversation. But my parents volunteered in church all the time. By the time I was in middle and high school, I was volunteering every week. In high school, I led a small group of girls. I was leading worship every week. I started an organization with a group of friends with the goal of bringing students from different schools and denominations together in a place where they felt safe to know the love of Christ. And I was doing all the right things, right? I was checking all the boxes. I was doing all the good Christian stuff. I was saying the right things. But there was a huge sin in my life that nobody knew about. I grew up addicted to pornography and masturbation, and I was stuck in the silent sin for 12 years without telling a single person. And before I get any further, I want to make two really clear apologies. First, I want to apologize to all the men in the room. Seems like every time we talk about pornography, we act like it's your fault. We act like it's a conversation that only you need to hear. And I'm sorry if in doing so, we've blamed it on you. And women, I'm sorry that we act like you're not in the room every time it comes up. I'm sorry that in talking about it like that, we've isolated each and every woman who has struggled with it at some point or another. And so I want you to know that even if you don't believe me when I say that I know that there's more than just me on campus, I want you to know that you have me too. You're not alone in it if that's where you are. So I grew up in this sin, but I didn't stay there. When we got sent home for the pandemic, I was left alone with my thoughts for a very long time. and I didn't like what I was thinking about. I didn't like how I was spending my time, now that I had a lot more of it free, because we had nothing going on. I really, really hated that I was scared to give my little sister my phone for fear that she would see something in my constantly cleared search history. I hated being terrified. I hated the way that I felt. I hated the shame that I was consumed with. And so I decided I was done. I decided I was gonna quit. And I had quit several times before this, and every time it would stick for a month or two, and then I would fall right back into it. And this time I decided it was gonna be different. And so I reached out to a friend at Asbury, and I said, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I'm dealing with, and I wanna be done, and I wanna quit. And I don't know what I want you to do with this. For all I care, you can forget. Actually, please forget. But I need you to know. And I told her, and I quit. And then the shame that consumed the next 3 months of my life was very different than the shame of the last 12 years. See, living in sin was one thing, but living with sin was another. I was living with the shame that the memories of the things that I had watched and done were never going to go away. I was living with the shame of why I hadn't quit sooner. Guys, I felt so worthless. I felt so hopeless. And that worthlessness and that hopelessness motivated me for a while. But then at some point, that shame wasn't motivating anymore. It's not sustainable to live in that. And so I was at a small group with a few of the women that I go to church with back home. And we were doing a Bible study. And we got to that part of the Bible study where we're sharing prayer requests, right? And I don't know about you, but for me, when we come to prayer requests, usually my response is to say something that doesn't matter to me at all. Like, yeah, you can pray for my sister. She has a cold. Or like, my mom's really busy right now, but I would never dare be honest about how I'm actually doing in my life, right? And so I was sitting there this one night, and I shared with them the story of how I was actually doing. I said, this is where I'm at. This is what I've been struggling with. It's been 3 months. And there's absolutely nothing motivating me to keep going right now. I said, there's nothing stopping me from going back to where I was tonight, tomorrow, the day after. I had absolutely no hope left. And I shared it with this group of women. I expected to lose friends that night. I expected to lose leadership positions. I expected not to be trusted. But instead, the way that they responded was the total opposite. They responded with, we love you, we're proud of you, can we pray for you? And so they all kind of scrunched together on this couch in this living room, and I sat on the floor, and they each put a hand on my shoulder, and they prayed over me. And they weren't prayers of, oh dear God, what has she done, which is what I expected. They were prayers of, Lord, let her know that she's forgiven. Let her know that she's loved. Let her know that you're healing her and you're redeeming her and you're going to do something powerful with this. Nothing crazy happened that night. Temptation didn't go away. I wasn't all of a sudden super motivated. But that night I learned what the love of Christ looks like. That night I learned what forgiveness looks like. I learned what redemption is. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I love this verse because it says confess and pray, and it's so simple. It's not confess and be condemned. It's not confess and be judged. It's not keep it a secret and pray on your own, although there's absolutely power in praying on your own, but there's also so much power in coming to God together. Partnering with each other and what the Holy Spirit is doing in each other's lives and praying in community. We say community on this campus all the time, so much so that I think a lot of us have forgotten what it means. Community means to actually do life together, the real parts of life, not just the happy parts. That night, I confessed and we prayed. We did exactly what James 5:16 says. And I am not at the point where I can say that I have been healed. It's a process. It's been the hardest year and a half of my life, by far. But it's also been the most fruitful. It's also been the most powerful. I've learned what community is. I've learned what good friends are. I've learned what accountability is supposed to look like. Now for me, sharing my story is the last thing that I ever wanted to do, but Romans 8, 1 and 2 have been verses that have followed me all through this last year and a half. It says, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Guys, Christ has set you free. The word condemnation is right at the beginning of this verse. Now, I don't know about you, but condemnation is a really big word to me, even though I'm a ministry major. No condemnation essentially means you're free from guilt. And in my life, that guilt felt like shame. So when I read this verse to myself, I read there's therefore now no shame for those who are in Christ Jesus. What that means is if God is in your story, there's no shame in it. If you've invited Jesus in, there's no shame in it. If Christ is working in your life, there's no shame in it. There's no reason to keep it hidden. There's no reason to keep it a secret because it's in those hidden secret spaces that the devil has power. But when we share our stories in community and we come to God together, that's when God can move. Ezekiel 37 is the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. Now, these bones are not just bones. They're not just skeletons. They're dry. There's nothing left. This is a valley of things that are deader than dead. There's nothing there. And Ezekiel is standing over this valley, and God tells him to prophesy over it and basically make them come to life. And I don't know about you, but if I was Ezekiel, my response would be, God, they're dead. Like, nothing's going to happen here. But Ezekiel, having much more faith than me, said, okay. And Ezekiel prophesied over this valley of bones, and they came together, and they stood up, and they were covered in flesh, and they looked alive, but they weren't yet. And God said, I'm not done yet. That's not good enough. And God told Ezekiel to prophesy again, and so he did, and the bones came to life. You see, God is in the business of doing the impossible. He's in the business of bringing hope to the hopeless. He's in the business of making the broken beautiful, bringing the dead to life. And that's what he did in my life. I was walking further and further into the valley of dry bones, and my sin and my shame were consuming me and killing me from the inside out. But God took me and he breathed life into me. He breathed restoration into me, and he can do that in your life today. So Asbury, I have a challenge for you, and it's a simple one. It's not to change anything drastic. It's just to share your story with one person. And I don't mean your happy ending, God is good story. There's absolutely power in that. There's absolutely places to share that. But right now, I mean the story of the things that you're struggling with, the things that are really happening in your life. Tell one person. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a goldfish. I don't care if it's me. Just tell one person. Don't keep it hidden. Don't keep it secret. It's in those places where the devil has power in that shame. So Asbury, that's my challenge for you today. At risk of being human, share your real story. Tell somebody how you're really doing and come to God with it together. Thank you.